Good morning and welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast on the 15th of July, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, joined by C.J. Miller and Sabrina Halverson on the news today, brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit ffbt.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. Coming up in the news, frustration over EPA regulations and how to sharpen the pencil on next year's crop inputs. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin here, too. He says unsettled weather sticks around, as do hot and humid conditions. And Friday's USDA supply and demand update provided a minor boost for the corn market. We have report analysis with Brian Basting on the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader,
Carl Jorn,
and Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana. Talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
Frustrations over the EPA's regulations and some advice for saving money on next year's seed and chemical purchases. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, several farmers and ag leaders have expressed their frustrations over the EPA's regulations during a recent hearing before the House Ag Committee. Sabrina Halverson reports.
The hearing focused on a wide range of EPA regulations, from the Waters of the U.S. rule to dicamba to new agency efforts to enforce the Endangered Species Act. Hog and poultry producer Gary Cooper of Ohio testified on behalf of the National Pork Producers Council.
First, we are very concerned about EPA's ELGs for meat and poultry processors. Even if EPA emits this rule will cause many processors to close, it is frustrating that the government would propose regulations putting large numbers of meat processors out of the business. This does create real economic hardships for those communities and the farmers who rely on them. Their closure means a loss of marketing opportunities for farmers, undermining both Congress and USDA's efforts to expand the number of small and medium local meat processors.
He pointed out the difficulties livestock ranchers have had in recent years, such as last year when hog producers lost on average $30 per head due to lower hog prices and high production costs. He says there's been some relief this year, but many farmers remain deep in the red.
This is all happening while farmers nationwide contend with the ever-present threat of all kinds of animal diseases. As a poultry farmer, I'm also aware of the devastation that has been caused by avian influenza. And as a hog farmer, I worry about the massive economic harm that will occur if African swine fever manages to make its way into the U.S. Our industry continues to face activists and regulatory distractions on environmental performance. While activists are unavoidable, government agencies like EPA shouldn't be putting unnecessary burdens on struggling farmers like us.
Cooper has firsthand experience with the EPA, as he once served on the EPA's Farm, Ranch, and Rural Communities Advisory Committee. Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
Well, if you're a farmer, you may be focused on the crops that you currently have in the ground. But it's not too early to start thinking ahead about the crops you'll plan on having for next year. Sarah Lucas is a financial officer with Farm Credit Mid-America, and she recommends having those conversations now with your seed, chemical, and fertilizer sales representatives about pricing for 2025.
And figuring out what are those early pay or cash discounts that are available. And so since we're in the middle of a growing season, one might think, well, you know, how do we take advantage of those?
She says if companies offer a pay-in-full discount, you may consider a farm operating loan for from Farm Credit Mid-America.
Not only could they have access to the credit, but we also offer some savings there as well. And so every dollar counts, especially in a time like we're experiencing now with lower commodity prices.
Sarah says you can manage your finances through Farm Credit Mid-America from anywhere at any time on your phone or mobile device.
My favorite feature is somebody that can just be sitting in the cab of their truck or combine and, you know, take a picture of a grain check and they can direct deposit same day. And, you know, they don't even have to get out of the cab.
For more information about Farm Credit Mid-America, visit FCMA.com. And Agrinovus Indiana is hosting another Quadrant event. It's this Wednesday, July 17th, beginning at 4 o'clock at Vision Loft Stutz in Indianapolis, as they reveal the latest research impacting the ag bioscience industry. Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Attention Indiana farmers, have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper. Because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmer stories at FCMA.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Farmers and agriculture dealers, now is the time to inspect your combines for holes and wear in your threshing, feeder, and grain tank sections. Instead of costly replacements, try combine wear parts from Eile Fabrications, made with the best steel, such as Hardox or Strengths wear plate. Eile's steel wear part liners are easy to install and built to OEM specs to ensure a snug and seamless fit at a cost less than OEM replacement parts. Visit IHLEFabrications.com and elevate your harvest this season.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We're starting off the work week here with, well, an unsettled kind of weather pattern. It's very warm, very muggy. We have instability that's going to be around the next 3 days. I think the best threat of moisture across the Hoosier State is going to be overnight tonight and tomorrow. I think through today and then on Wednesday, we're seeing a lot smaller coverage of hit and miss moisture. So today, probably 30% or less coverage. Overnight tonight through tomorrow, we see likely 80 to 90% coverage. And then Wednesday, southern Indiana still sees good coverage, but central and northern Indiana is starting to dry out just a little bit. So that's the setup. I think I still want to look at the entire 3 day period combined. And so I think today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, when you add everything up, we're looking at half to 1.5, maybe 2 inches of rain across the Hoosier State with 100% coverage for the 3 day period. Now, there is cooler air sagging southward across the upper Midwest and Great Lakes. That frontal boundary is what's kicking off the best moisture later Tuesday night, and early Wednesday. And so behind that, I'm looking for us to cool down and definitely see a big drop in humidity for Thursday and Friday. Very pleasant, very comfortable overall. And then into the weekend, we keep humidity values lower, but maybe start to creep our temperatures up ever so slightly. But still, 4 days back to back to back to back with very good dry down. We'll need that after the moisture that we're seeing here nearby. Getting into next week, Monday, Tuesday, we're going to see warmer air in. Humidity values starting to creep up just a little bit, but I'm going to keep Monday dry. Tuesday, I think we have to allow for a little bit of moisture down in southern Indiana as a disturbance really settles in over the deep south. But in northern Indiana, we could be dry through Wednesday and into early Thursday. We'll just have to see how that southern moisture wants to move. Part of that probably comes down to how this cool air mass lifts out. Does it move out completely, or do we just see a slight easing of the frontal boundary coming up through? So lots to kind of unpack as we go through next week. But right now, the biggest threat of moisture is nearby. Not much happening the last part of our forecast window. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
If you would like to begin or expand a conservation practice on your farm operation and earn some revenue as well, then you might want to enroll in the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund. Tyler Rausch is Indiana's field program representative for the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund, and he says it improves the long-term resiliency of your farm operation.
We're working with growers to implement new conservation practices such as tillage reduction, cover crop implementation, or extended crop rotation. We're not only looking at the soil health benefits, but the farm benefits from reducing fertilizer rates and then the carbon sequestration process that we are implementing there from reducing the tillage, which is reducing the amount of diesel fuel that is burnt and then the carbon that is being sequestered in the soil.
Hear more about the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund in our next podcast. Check out their website, theoutcomesfund.com.
USDA reports, and as a result of that, only the corn market got a bump and finished higher. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. Noon Eastern Time, USDA spoke, and we begin with analysis of that report. I checked in near the end of trade with Brian Basting at Advanced Trading. Brian, we had a comeback after the USDA Noon Eastern Time report on Friday in the corn and soybean markets. Everything was selling off prior to the report. Wheat continued weak afterwards, but we had some surprises. Talk about those.
Well, there's always surprises, Andy, and I appreciate you having me. As always, this is a report that had gone in, as you said, with a very bearish leaning toward it. We've had just really good moisture here across some dry areas of the Midwest this week, and hopes rising that they'll stabilize some crop condition ratings in the east. And it dried out in the west, which is just what the doctor ordered. But we'd gone into this report with such a bearish bias that perhaps we're seeing some end users sneak in here, Andy, a little bit of a surprise in the carryout estimate for old crop corn, for example. The USDA did come in here today and increased old crop. This is the crop you're wrapping up now. Usage by 150 million bushel. They took exports up 150. And a little bit surprising, they took the feed residual up 75. So 75 higher on exports for old crop, 75 higher for feed residual for 150 million bushel increase in usage. So that took our carryout down to 1877. And I'd remind your listeners that going into the report, the trade was looking for old crop corn carryout 2047. So that's about 170 million bushels below the average trade estimate. So that was the bullish surprise, Andy, and I think it just encouraged some end users to come in here with corn futures below $4 in September to get some coverage on. We'll wait and see if there's some follow-through or not. We expect the crop condition ratings to improve next week. But beans, not a lot of surprise in beans, Andy, and as a result, we're seeing kind of unchanged, choppy action in beans at the moment. Wheat was the one that was really pummeled today. The surprise there was the much larger than expected spring wheat crop. This is the first survey-based spring wheat estimate that the USDA published, and some record yields penciled in for North Dakota. Obviously, that crop is not made yet, but USDA is quite optimistic there and really pummeled the wheat market down here and looking at some increases in carryout relative to a year ago, and only a slight increase in usage, 10 million bushels in feed and 25 million bushels in exports. But seeing carryout projected for all wheat at 856 compared to 702 last year. So biggest surprise, I'd say, today, Andy, was the wheat production number being much above expectations. And then the corn, old crop corn carryout, as it were, lower than expectations. So we'll see what kind of follow-through, if there's a follow-through in buying in corn next week. But I think we'll focus, of course, on weather these next 6 weeks between now and Labor Day.
Talk about the U.S. corn and soybean production estimates. Any change there?
Not really, Andy. The USDA adopted the harvested acreage estimate that they had from the June 30th report, the acreage report, and then they kept the trend yield unchanged for corn at 181. So that 15.1 was just about in line with expectations. Same thing for beans. They kept the trend yield unchanged at 52 bushel nationwide, and therefore the production at 4435 is right in line with expectations. So no major surprises there. Of course, the USDA will give us their first survey-based estimate of yields in that August 12th crop report.
And Brian, out into the future, do you expect lingering effects of this report?
Well, I guess my first reaction would be the lingering effects would be most pronounced in wheat. When we're looking at that production estimate just weighing on the market, we're looking at some record yields, as I mentioned, out in North Dakota for the spring wheat. They nudged up the hard red winter wheat crop out west, Kansas, Oklahoma. That area increased yields compared to what they were in June. They were basically unchanged on the soft wheat estimates. It's right around 345 in terms of production, 343. That was just about unchanged from what it was in June. But the production estimate for HRW was higher, and the spring wheat estimate was a big surprise. The lingering effect that I see at the moment will be on the wheat market, given that there aren't any major concerns, or let's just say that things have stabilized for the time being in the Black Sea region. The USDA did not change the Russian or Ukraine production or export estimates. So with those estimates unchanged, again, that crop isn't in the bin. I'd remind your listeners that could change, but for the moment, that's stabilized, and wheat is looking at not as much competition as a year ago, but still strong competition, if that makes sense. Even though the export forecasts are lower for Brazil, beg your pardon, for Russia and Ukraine from a year ago, there's still plenty of wheat competition out there. So I think the lingering effect it will be on wheat. Corn, I think we're just going to go back to trading the weather as you go through pollination. Critical month here as we go through pollination. And beans, we'll just keep an eye on the longer-term forecasts for August.
Brian Basting there, economist at Advanced Trading. And his number is 309-664-2314. Now settlements from Friday trade. September corn ends at 402, up a penny and three quarters. Dece goes to 414 and three quarters, up 4 cents. March, 428, a gain of three and three quarters. Soybeans down 12 on the August, 1105. September, 1058 and a half, a nickel and a quarter lower. And November, 1065 and a quarter, 2.5 down. Leading the way lower all day long, wheat. September ends at 550 and three quarters, down 20.5 cents. And the meats higher. August live cattle, 182.37, up 12 cents. August lean hogs, 88.45, up 177. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.